kind of a unique day for me because my spirit has been all over the place for the last couple of days on what to preach in Jefferson and here. I'm going to stick with my direction. I don't quite know what the Lord has in store for it, but we're going to stick with it anyway. I believe that God always knows more than what we do. And I've found, and it's not always easy as a preacher, I'm sure Brother Keith will understand this. You know, oftentimes God will, he'll change your direction or he'll take you a direction and you just don't feel it. And there may be some that think you always got to feel it as a preacher. I disagree completely. There's just a lot that I just don't feel that I preach. As I'm preaching it, I might feel it and might understand it, but I don't feel it while I'm preaching. While I'm getting ready to preach or while I'm preparing it, I'll tell God, I don't know what you're doing, I don't understand, but he don't really care what I think or ask, so we just plow forward. So I don't know who this is for today, but if you have your Bible, you open it up to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I'm looking for my favorite Angela. I thought I saw some of her family. Is she here? I see her husband there. That's right. I'm talking about you and your wife. Is your wife here? She's here? All right. I was just looking to see if I could see her today. Well, I'm glad you're here too. No, no, don't take it personal. She's my favorite Angela. You can't be my favorite Angela. Just so you know. It'll be pretty easy in this society, but we'll move on. Yes, I said it. 2 Timothy 4 and 1. Well, I should open up my Bible. I thought I had copied the whole scripture, and I didn't. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Now, this isn't my message, but if you ever got one of those people out there telling you you still have to eat like the Old Testament, it's not true. It's not biblical. Right here, should be a... Anyway, the Spirit speaketh expressly. In the latter time, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. I'd like to preach to you for a few moments today, just on the simple topic, the truth. And we're going to ask them to come pray for us. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Another scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 4 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and his appearing and his kingdom. Now that's a powerful intro. He says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who, let me remind you, will judge you at his appearing and his kingdom. He said, preach the word. Now, that sounds on its face, it sounds very basic, preach the word. But what he's not saying, preach preacher. He's saying, preach the word, the truth. He said, be instant in season and out of season. Reproof, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Now, here's how that verse, that second verse, reads in the Amplified. It's magnified. Preach the word as an official messenger, which means you have no option to change things if you don't like them. You have no option to twist them. And I don't perceive that happens here. Like I said, there's a reason the Lord wants this. I don't know what it is, but He knows. And it says, be ready when the time is right, even when it is not. Keep your sense of urgency, whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, whether convenient or inconvenient, whether welcome or unwelcome. Correct those who err in doctrine or behavior. Warn those who sin, and exhort and encourage those who are growing toward spiritual maturity. Growing toward spiritual maturity. I like that because for some reason we think the moment we're saved, everything's right. No, there's got to be a growing process towards spiritual maturity. With inexcusable or inexhaustible patience and faithful teaching. And it says in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So there will come a time where people won't want to hear it. If you give me a magic show and you put the name Jesus in the middle of it, we'll be good. It says they won't endure sound doctrine. Now, let me just say this real quick. If you're a child of God, that should shake you to the core. That shouldn't offend you. It shouldn't bother you. It should disturb you that there will come a time, and we're living in it, where people will not want to hear truth. And it says, but after their own lusts, after their own desires, shall they heap to themselves teachers. You ever have someone tell you, well, we're just shopping churches. We're just shopping churches, you know, kind of like you shop for a car. We're going to see what we like. Where in the world, in the name of Jesus, in the Bible, does it tell me to shop for a church that I like and I'm comfortable with? I'm going to tell you what it means when you're shopping for a church. I'm going to find a teacher that preaches what I like to hear, having itching ears. I'll find a preacher that preaches what I want them to preach and not what anybody else wants to preach. That's what that means. I'm not being cruel, unkind. I'm just being honest. Listen to me. It's the word of God, folks. And then it says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And shall be turned unto fables. So I'm not sure how much support I would have here today, but I've got to believe that there are plenty of people that would say, yeah, I think we're in that time. I think we're there. There's so much scripture on this topic, it really should disturb us. Watch this. So this morning, now, I told the church in Jefferson today, I'm not a commentary guy. Now, I'm going to tell you why I'm not a commentary guy. Now, I know some people love commentaries. I had somebody ask me yesterday, they said, and I don't remember exactly how they worded it, and they meant it as a sincere question. And they said, where do you get your sermons from? Are they like textbook or mail order or something? I don't remember. And what they meant was, you know, like maybe do I go into sermons.com to find a sermon or something like that? And I said, no, God, no, no. No, I don't go Google somebody else's man-written stuff and then preach it. Last I checked, A preacher's supposed to have the mind of God. Now, I'm not saying that you can't get in some of those things and find context. So I was looking up a specific topic that I've wanted some more clarity and understanding on for a long time, and I'm still not where I want to be with it. But while looking at it, I decided, well, let me look at a couple different commentaries. Let me see what they say. Every one was pretty different. And one of them went way out into left field. And you see, so the reason I am not a fan of commentaries, even though there might be some good ones out there, is that's just another man's opinion. I got news for you. Not one of the apostles had a commentary to go to when they preached. None of them had the internet to search up things. Nobody was able to go and find this and the Greek this and all that stuff. No. You know what they had? They had time. They had prayer. And in that time and in that prayer, they sought the mind of God. Now, I know we live in a rapid society, so we want to Google things as we go and pretend like it's the mind of God. And pretend like we actually are finding truth. That's not how you find truth. The scripture says, seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and it shall be given. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask who? Well, I think we have elders and we have spiritual authority for a reason. But there's also times that we go to the Lord and ask and seek and knock. Are you okay? Is this too tough for you? So, my point is, the reason I don't use them is because everybody's got a different opinion. I'm not looking for opinions. You know, opinions are like, you know, noses. Everybody's got one. Well, 99.9% of the people, there's a few that might not. And if you're a child of God, you shouldn't look for an opinion either. Worst thing you can ever do is ask somebody, one of my buddies, if you're seeking truth, is get a bunch of different opinions. I had a lady once who was in our church, and she was she had problems. And she was always searching things, always researching stuff. And I know you think that's good. No, it's not. It's terrible. You're getting a million different opinions. Before you're done, you'll be so confused you won't even know what your name is. You'll forget what you're even doing. And I said, listen, I said, take 2 months off of your research and just pray. I mean, watch that. That's the kind of response you get in the world today anyway. I mean, pray. I can't just Google it. I just rather Google it. It doesn't take as much time. When you Google, prayer takes time. And I've prayed and God hasn't given me an answer. Maybe you're not at a spiritual mature place where he's able to provide you the answer. Maybe he wants you to keep searching. Maybe he wants you to keep looking. Come on, somebody. What is wrong with continuing the journey of hunger and thirsting after righteousness? They shall be filled. So that's why I'm not a fan of commentaries. I'd rather go in prayer. Now, when you go in prayer, normally what you get is different, you know, really. I mean, normally God will be like, blah, 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 and you're like, oh, no. The people are not going to like that, God. You know, they want something different. I mean, today I'm like, God, no, man, can I like preach about run, jump in the aisles or something? And even while I'm up here, I'm still going back to some of my other notes. I had 3 different sermons prepared today because I had no clue where I was going. And so I'm going, no, I like this a little better. It's a little nicer, God. And that one, I'd like to preach the one I preached in Jefferson. Everybody loved it, it seemed. And we had a great move of God, and it was wonderful. And so I thought, maybe I'll switch back. And I just didn't feel like the Lord gave me permission to. So I thought, okay, well, I guess I got to listen to God. So I stayed where I'm at. You can talk to all kind of preachers. Everybody will give you a different opinion. That don't mean they're bad. It just means everybody's got an opinion. I try not to give opinions. I try to give direction that comes from the Lord. That's what I try to do. Different preachers see things different ways and they interpret things different ways. Is that good? No, it's terrible. It's terrible. I'll show you the scripture why it's terrible. God never put the word of God into our hands and said, well, whatever your interpretation is. No, God intended for us to seek this truth out and to find it. That's what God intended. God intended us to get down on our face and on our knees and seek the heart and the mind of God. But listen to me. Do you know why we don't like to do that? There's 2 reasons. Number 1, we're lazy. That's true, being honest. Number 2, you might get an answer that's contrary to what you want to believe. How's it go? My mind's just kind of moving real quick here. For after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Listen, folks, you can like it or not, but I'm in the book. I am in the Word. After their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers. So when you find somebody that preaches in a manner that aligns with your ideologies and your beliefs. But that's not the Word of God. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It will pierce and divide to the asunder of soul. I can never quote the scripture, but I know what it means. It means sometime that word will cut you like a knife, and it will gut you open, and God will do what God wants to do. And that's what a hungry child of God seeks. One of our first church members, every time after service, and I was probably a lot rougher around the edges than, believe it or not, I am polished now. I mean, you can polish a porcupine, it's still a porcupine, just for the record. And every service after service, she would say, "Oh, Pastor, you stepped on my toes. My toes are hurting. My toes hurt today." Now, I never physically stepped on anybody's toes, but the Word of God was stepping on her toes. So, preachers, now, again, this is kind of very, you got to be very careful. Okay, let me back up. Do you know why you have Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 and 17? You know why you have those verses? You can go ahead and write them down and look them up. Because God puts somebody, you can't have too many voices. I say it all the time. You can't say it enough. It doesn't matter how much you say it. There's always a million voices out there in the world. And those million voices are do nothing but sow confusion. So he puts somebody in our life. Now watch this. I'm going to preach now for a second. Moses didn't seek the burning bush. The burning bush sought him out. But it was during Moses' journey through life that God, by chance, made sure he stumbled across the burning bush. And there at that divine encounter, God gave Moses purpose and he gave him direction. And his direction was not something he was comfortable with because I can't really speak, God. Is there anybody else who can have me my spokesperson? Because this isn't really my cup of tea. You see, when God divinely aligns your path, I can tell you it's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be easy all the time. You're going to find yourself sometimes at odds because what God is doing is not trying to give you your will and your desires and your thinking, but he's trying to align you with somebody that will preach exactly what you need because he knows your heart and your heart is crying out unto the Lord, looking for direction. Your hunger, you're thirsty. God, feed me. I need something for my soul. And so that's why you have Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 and 17. He aligns you because you got to have a voice somewhere. But you can't have 9,000 voices. So what we do, it's our nature to migrate towards ideology that aligns with our beliefs. Watch this. I'll make it easy for you. We're Pentecostal. I invite you to my church. No, I'm Pentecostal. Well, I'm Pentecostal, but Pentecostal isn't my doctrine. It's not my theology. It's just what I identify with. So what I'm saying, here's what I'm saying when I say I'm Pentecostal. I'm just saying I don't want nothing else. Now, at some point in your life, you should feel pretty secure that you're on the right path. You got the right direction. You got the majority of the truth. We'll never have it all because the mystery is just too deep and it's just too vast. And eventually God, you know, at some point, just give me enough to get me on the right path, keep me on the right path and get me to heaven. But God wants, what we should say, we shouldn't even say I'm a Christian. 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 What we should say is I'm a child of God, seeking the will of God, seeking the mind of God, and every day I'm striving to be more like Him, and every day I'm striving to please the Lord in everything that I do and everything that I say, and I'm seeking more and more understanding. I'm seeking divine revelation. I want God to open Himself up to me and give me all that He has, or at least all that I'm able to receive. as a Pentecostal, it was never God's will that we become an entity or an organization. Hey, I got all kind of Pentecostal friends. They preach things that I just don't agree with. Some people, you know, the really people try and get really smart. Well, some things are a heart issue, and some things, you know, they're just, and they try and, you know, dissect it all and whatever. My point is, we've all got opinions and beliefs. So what can I do to get myself out of the way and preach to the people of God exactly what God wants? And what can you do to be confident enough in the course that God has set you upon? First of all, we have to believe together that it's very dangerous to align yourself just with personal ideology. That's dangerous. I didn't say theology. Is it ideology? Sometimes even theology. You should always have a level of openness that God can still do more and impart more into you. It doesn't matter how old you might be or how young you might be. We should never close the door to learning. My people perish before a lack of knowledge, the Bible says. Not me, the scripture says. They perish for a lack of knowledge. And I know that I share this a lot, but I'm going to share it again. Because I came to that watershed moment in my life. I did. I don't know about y'all. I don't know what your personal prayer lives are like, and I'm not asking you. But I came to that watershed moment, and I said, God, I am not preaching this anymore until you prove to me what I am preaching is right, because I'm not going to be responsible for deceiving people. That is exactly, and the Lord knows I'm speaking the truth to you, what I said to him. Because even some of the things I believed, I went through a little period of confusion. Confusion is not always a bad thing. Now, I know confusion is not of God, but I can tell you this, confusion should cause you to seek, not just say, oh, I don't know about that. Oh, I'm so confused. I'm just going to quit now. I'm just going to stay home for about the next six years and see if me and Jesus can figure it out all by ourselves. And so I began to pray. And for years I prayed. I prayed. I told God, I want to know the truth. That's all I want to know, and that's it. And God began to open things up to me and reveal things to me in many, many, many ways. And one of the things that the Lord told me that day, and this would be for somebody who has not heard this, is I asked the Lord, I said, how can a preacher that I didn't know, I didn't say he was going to hell, but I know the scripture says preachers are going to hell. The scripture says preachers did not preach in his name. That they preached of their own accord, and he never even knew who they were when they were preaching. That's the book. That's not our daring. Can I get an amen if you know the book? And so I said, God, how can preachers like this go to hell? And immediately the Lord said, because they never search for me. And when God says something, it's just kind of like, you know, you could have heard it 1,000 times, but then when the Lord says it, it's like, wow. And then all those scriptures that we just talked about begin to flood in. Listen to me. Watch this. Are you ready for it? I feel like I can preach now. If you're lost, do you know why you'll be lost? Because you never hungered for the Lord, and you never sought him out, and you never desired for truth. You never hungered and thirsted for righteousness. Not for my beliefs, not for my ways, but for the truth and for righteousness. And you never wanted those things, but you just wanted to live a comfortable Christian life. And the scripture, listen, not our dairy, the scriptures warn us that we are coming to this place where people will no longer want truth, but they will seek their own teachers out, and they will begin to desire fables, stories. I've had people tell me, Brother Dan, churches that I know well, they said they don't even open the Bible anymore. They'll stand up and tell a 15-minute story, and they go off on some tangent because people want stories. I'm not here to preach stories.
I want the word of God. I want the truth, because the truth makes you free. The truth will save people and pull them out of the pit of hell.
Here's one. I had a man years ago, I was doing a Bible study. It was the first day, And I have a problem, and the problem is I just cannot stay on script. It is a bad weakness of mine. I mean, the good thing I read that scripture this morning says, take no purse nor script, nor silver with you. I know it wasn't that kind of. So anyway, so we're first day, you know, I mean, I should start at the beginning. I don't know, 10 minutes later, here we are in baptism. And we got talking about it. And of course, you're welcome to disagree with me, but in my opinion, it's a pretty good one. John 3:3-5 is very, very clear. Except a man is born again of the water and the Spirit, he shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Very clear. I don't think it can be any more clear than that. That's why listen to me. R. Derry's commentary. Go ahead and read it. That's why all of the disciples baptized. All of them. Hold on. I'm going to take it deeper. Are you ready for it? I'm going to take it deeper. Now listen. Do me a favor. Open your heart just for a moment. All right? You can chew it out and spit it out outside when you want to if you're done. But just open your heart just for a moment. Just hear me. I'm being honest. I never heard this philosophy until I got out here in Ashtabula County. And it was probably about maybe 3 years, and I heard, well, you're baptized when you're born. I'm like, huh? You know, I look like the person that, you know, I mean, like you just stumped me with a question. I'll never, huh? You're baptized when you're born. Yeah, everybody's baptized when they're born. Now, again, 10th grade education, not a smart guy, but I could add. I mean, maybe not anymore with Common Core math, but then I could add. Now, watch this. Now, wait a second. John the Baptist baptized. Now, he didn't baptize for salvation. Well, you know that. John the Baptist baptized to introduce water baptism to the world. That's why he baptized. That's why when you read Acts chapter 19, verse 4, Paul said, oh, no, John only baptized in repentance, teaching people to believe on Jesus. But he said, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So what do? They rebaptize him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in water. The word baptism means fully wet or fully immersed. You cannot sprinkle. It is not baptism. You can't sprinkle. Hey, I ain't got this in my notes, folks. I'm just going to follow the Lord. Just hang with me for a couple minutes. So me and my 10th grade education, I'm like, wait a minute. Well, if you're baptized at birth, then why did the apostles baptize? Were they just like, oh, you know what? It's hot out today. How about we take a dip and we'll baptize you? Because they all baptized. To the point in Acts chapter 10 with the Gentiles, the Bible says, Peter said, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Hold on a second. I'm only in the book. He didn't say, well, if you feel like it, it's a great expression of your faith. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Hey, somebody, am I in the book or have I got out yet? Wait a second. It gets better. It gets better. Me and my 10th grade education. I'm like, wait a second. If you're baptized at birth, wouldn't that be like a forced baptism? You have no choice. So God's forcing you into something when baptism should be a choice. 1 Peter or chapter 3, it says, for wherefore baptism doth now also save us, not the putting of the way of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. My choice. My choice is what makes baptism so powerful. So if I'm baptized at birth, then everybody's baptized and everybody's forced into baptism. And there's no choice, there's no conscience and all that. And it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It sounds like Johnny in first grade came up with that theology and started teaching it. And then you got the people with the itching ears said, I like that. Let's go ahead and we're going to go to Johnny's church. Because Johnny doesn't make you do anything. Because God knows we live in a day where you can't tell me what to do. I don't want to tell you what to do, but I can tell you this. The Bible is full of absolutes. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. You must be born again. If you don't like absolutes, then you won't like the fact that you must be born again. Come on, somebody. I'm in the book. I'm not out of it. I'm right there. listen, listen to me. Hang on a second. I'm not here insulting anybody. I'll tell you what I am saying. God knows your heart. And I'll say this with as much boldness as I can say it. And you're here because the Lord knows your desire. And God gave you somebody that would finally say it to you as it needed to be said. Hold on a second. So, I'm like, I don't know if that really works, you know. Watch it. Had a great education. So you're going to tell me that I have made church legalistic, but then you're going to tell me in the same breath that God forcefully baptized you when you were born. I mean, I'd probably call that a little more legalism than what I, because I'm telling you baptism is your choice. Do I think you should be baptized? Absolutely. Buried with him by baptism, risen with him in the fullness and the faith and the operation of God. I got no notes on baptism. I don't know who you are, but you better go home. I'll tell you in all the love I can tell you. You better go home and say, Jesus, you better help me because I don't want to miss this. I don't know why that man got on today because I don't have one word in here. Read that. Do I got any words on baptism right there? Go ahead and read it real quick and I'll come back and get it from you. Tell me if there's anything in there that says one word about baptism. Actually, there's nothing in there but a couple scriptures. That's it. Am I all right? You hear yes, yes, and you hear a little no. Watch this. Let me read it for you. Am I all right? Can I meddle for a minute? Some people, I need to shut him up. Tell them I'm busy. Where's Chantel? Find my scripture for me. When the disciples told Jesus, this is a hard thing, who can hear it? Find it for me real quick. And I'm going to give it to you. Can I ask you a question? Do me a favor. Try to process this question in its sincerity. And just work with me for just a minute. For a moment. When you get it yelled out, or put it up on the screen when you get it. Why would something like the things that I'm saying, why would it be difficult to receive? Why is it hard for us sometimes to receive the word? You know, I mean, why does it make us cringe or, you know, get intense or even defensive? Why is that? I will tell you, it's because our flesh is warring against the word of God. John 6, what verse is that? In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 60. Because I want to give you more context, is why I want to look it up there. Okay, so Jesus, he gets done preaching about being the bread of life and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and you can read it all if you want to. And then the disciples, therefore, his disciples, his Christians, his followers, his believers, they said, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. Thank God he dealt with murmurers and complainers too. Wow, I feel like I'm the worst preacher in the world sometimes. And he said to them, ready for it? I could use some of my wife's music right now, but I'm not ready just yet. Doth this offend you? Remember that. Next time, just here's the voice of the Lord. Does this offend you? Does it offend you? Sorry. I mean, not me, the word of God. I'm in it. I'm in the word. What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Does this offend you? I speak not, but of the Spirit that speaks to you. All right, let's look at 2 Peter. I got to hurry. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. We'll begin. Couple verses. If I get out of the book, you can welcome and stand up and shout it and say, get back on in the word, and I'll say, okay. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were witnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto do you well, you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. He said, you do well that you would take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Knowing this first, that no prophecy, the scripture is all prophecy, just so you know. No prophecy of this scripture is of any private interpretation. There isn't one person starting with this man that has the right to interpret it the way I want to. But we have an obligation to interpret it according to the wisdom and knowledge as God imparteth it unto us. But I cannot do that unless I first seek for that from God, unless I first desire from the Lord to understand, because we could all open up the scriptures somewhere and we'll all feel a little confused and scratch our head. So what we've got to do is we've got to desire the truth. God, I don't understand this, but open my understanding. Help me to see it as you intended it. And we also know that there are some times where God will not open your understanding. And do you know why? Because he wants you to follow in faith. For the prophecy, watch this, came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God, as they spake, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Well, I can say this right now. Do you know what's wrong with half our pulpits? We got non-Holy Ghost filled preachers trying to preach Holy Ghost, divine inspired word. You need God to fill you with the Holy Ghost before you can speak anything of God. That's the truth. It's the truth. Because if I don't have the Holy Ghost, it's all my understanding and all my interpretation. I'm in the book. I'm not out one bit. That's why when you go throughout the entire New Testament, especially the book of Acts, you know what happened? They'd always find men that were full of the Holy Ghost to fill posts and offices. Now watch this. You haven't even got that yet. It didn't say they found men that were filled with the Holy Ghost. It's the men that were full of the Holy Ghost. That means you've got to constantly pray and allow it to be renewed every day of your life. Why? Because you need that. You need that unction. You need that fresh anointing. You need a fresh word from God, fresh understanding. Our minds get bogged down by the things of the world. Our minds come under attack. Our minds get weary. Sickness happens and it wears us out. And we need a fresh outpouring of the Spirit of God upon us so he can lift from us the weight of the world. And we can see clearly as God wants us to see. And we can speak clearly as divinely inspired by God.
You can get ready for me, honey, if you don't mind. I'm going to tell you a story in a minute. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, my last scripture. No, it's not. There's one more. Would you believe me if I told you that if I were to rile up the entire county of Ashtabula because of what I preached today, God wouldn't have me change one thing if it's truth? You must not read your Bible. You know who my brother Michael, who do you think my favorite character in the Bible is? He's in the Old Testament, I'm going to tell you. Take a guess. Give you an example. Begins with a J. Nope. Someone said Joshua. Nope. Jeremiah. I love Jeremiah. I love it. I love it. I love it. Because God said, Jeremiah, come here. He said, I'm going to tell you what to preach here to these people. He said, when I do, he said, I want you to look over their heads, because when you look at their faces, they're going to give you all kind of angry looks and mean looks. And I've sat in churches and I've preached and I've seen people, still, it's burned in my head. I remember one time I saw this girl, she goes like this. She's like, just like that. I see people mouthing things. No, really, I'm being serious. Brother Keith, I'm sure you've experienced that over your years. You had to. Maybe not. Maybe you're not as bad as I am. I can see you. Oh, I look over your head. I look at Brad back there throwing things in the sound booth. That kind of makes me happy. I'm just kidding, Brad. So, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I don't know if I was going to tell a story or not. Let me tell the story real quick. Again, you've probably heard it. If you have, just go online and pay a couple bills real quick while I tell this. Be posting on Facebook later. It's a great day. I got some things done in church, Brother Pastor. So I'm in a meeting full of ministers, different denominations, different faiths, because I believe, I've never looked at somebody because they preach differently than me. I've never looked at them as a heathen. I've never called them a reprobate. Now, I think there are some things that need to be fixed. But and I've been attacked by preachers. I've had rumors spread about me, but I've never returned it in kind. So I'm sitting there and I'm on this one of those ministerial fellowships. Those are jokes. Don't ever get involved in one. They're really a joke. And so I asked them that day, and you probably heard the story. Anybody hear the story? No, don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. And so I said, gentlemen, I have a question for you. I said, who are we as a group? Well, we're an ecumenical fellowship. I said, well, when I joined, I thought it was called a ministerial fellowship. We're an ecumenical fellowship. So I said, well, who are we going to allow into the group? What do you mean? Well, are we going to allow a Muslim imam into the group? I said, are we going to allow a homosexual preacher into the group? Well, you know, brother, I wouldn't like it, but I wouldn't say anything. I said, well, I wouldn't be back. So the next meeting, you can always tell when you get into people's under their feathers, because I was the chairman, and in the next meeting they voted me out. That's always a good thing when you get voted out of something. You know you're doing something right. So I brought it back up. I said, gentlemen, I said, you know, I'd like to bring this back up. So I said, we need to draw a line somewhere. I said, the world has, there's no lines in the world. I said, it's investing in the church. Y'all heard about the deal in Jerusalem. It's what, either I think it's being constructed now or it's getting ready to. They have a mosque, a church, and a temple, like for Judaism. What's it called? Synagogue. And they're building them all on this one site, and the goal is to present this unified faith and religions to the world. I don't want to be unified with people who don't believe that Jesus is God in flesh, that he's the Son of God. I don't want to be unified with somebody who doesn't believe he's the Messiah, the Savior, the only way, the truth and the life, and no other way. I don't want to. I'll love you, but I don't want to be unified with that nonsense. So, they didn't want to go anywhere with it. And so I stood up, and there were four or five Methodist preachers there. And I stood up. I said, well, men, I said, we better draw a line somewhere. And I pointed to the Methodist preachers, and I said, and you know all too well, because your organization is getting ready to split wide open over the homosexuality issue. That was about 5 years before it split wide open over the homosexuality issue. That day, one of the pastors says, well, brother, we're glad to have a prophet amongst us. And I said, I did not proclaim or profess any such thing. On my ride home, God rebuked me and said, I put you there to be a voice. Why did you reject that? And so I'm telling you, as sure as I'm standing here, God rebuked me. And so from that point on, I said, okay, God, I'll be the voice you call me to be. No matter who it turns away, no matter who doesn't like me for it, I'm your voice. That's my calling. That's every preacher's calling. There is no preacher that has any right to change anything in the Word of God. We have an obligation to seek the truth. That's it.
Well, I just don't see it. It's because you're not seeking it. You're not gonna find anything you don't seek. At the very least, set out to prove me wrong if you disagree with anything I say. Just set out to prove me wrong. I promise you, you'll get done. You'll be like, my God, he was right. Because I spent years trying to prove myself wrong. So, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. I didn't want to preach this today. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they, ready? Are you ready? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Do you know what will send people to hell? They have no love of truth. You've got to love the truth more than you love the church. You've got to love the truth more than you love the preacher. You've got to love the truth more than anything the church can do for you, give to you. It don't matter what it is. Love the truth more than you love calling yourself a Christian. Because when you love the truth, you'll love it so much, God will begin to open up your understanding. In this era of confusion, in this world of chaos, God will begin to remove the confusion out of the way and let truth set you free. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That's scary. It's scary that I could reject truth so much that one day God will put a strong delusion in my mind and cause me to believe the very lie that I insist on believing. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, I'm not presuming that's anybody here, just for the record. That's not my intention. In Proverbs 23:23, it says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Well, Pastor, I just don't know what to pray for. I'd pray for truth, for clarity and knowledge, and I wouldn't sell it for some cheap preacher. If that's me, so be it. I got no problem with that. I wouldn't sell it for overtime. I wouldn't sell it for a position. I'm leaving there. They don't recognize my talents. No, we recognize your spirit. It speaks louder than your talents. And while you're seeking truth after you purchase that, wait, let me just get you. I want to make sure you get this. It's going to cost you something. Truth will cost you. It's not free. You say, well, I got to pay for it. Well, not with money. You got to pay for it on your knees. You got to pay for it by putting your flesh aside and crucifying that old man so that brand new creature in Christ Jesus will have a spirit of humility and the understanding of a child. Well, wait a minute, but children don't have understanding. Exactly. That's why the Bible says, except you become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Teacher, what are we learning about today? David and Goliath. David, ooh, wow, that's awesome. You get older, that's so stupid. You know, nobody ever literally used a slingshot and literally pulled it back and the stone didn't literally, you know, those are all metaphors. So after the truth cost you something,
Don't sell it. It's not stock market. Don't sell it. And then while you're at it, after you've bought the truth, buy some wisdom too. And some instruction, which comes from somebody else. And understanding. Because if I can get all of this, I'll be all right. I'll be all right. Listen, remember this. We won't go to hell because we maybe lack in some clarity of Scripture. We'll go to hell because we don't have a love for the truth. If you have a love for the truth, it doesn't matter what it costs you. It may cost you friends. It may cost you positions. It may cost you all kinds of stuff. But I'm not here for those things. And they're nice, and I wish I had more friends. Actually, I wish I had one friend. And you all don't count because you'll say it anyway. Tyler never invites me over to his house. Actually, he did invite me over for dinner a couple weeks ago. Buy the truth. Sell it not. So what I've tried to do, and I promise you I don't want to preach this today. I don't regret it, but I wanted to preach something different. But I'm pretty sure I'm preaching to most people here are people that know the Lord, people that love the Lord. But maybe, just maybe, there's some lacking in truth today. And God has come to say to you, there's nothing more valuable than truth. Truth will cost you. But what you lose in seeking and finding truth, you gain in eternity. And you gain in spiritual growth, strength, fortitude. Remember the Bible says, I'm done. Remember it says, put on the whole armor of God? Remember that? You see, you can have some things. Watch this. You can have some things and not have others, and you're vulnerable still. Are you hearing me? What are those? Knowledge. Truth. The gospel of peace. Help me out, somebody, because I never get them right. The helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit. See, you could have some things, but still lack in others. What good is a shield if you can't fight back? You'll live your whole life on defense. Or what good's a sword if you don't have a shield? You can't live your whole life on offense. Sometimes God wants you to hunker down. The Bible says, occupy until I come. Sometimes you got to hunker down, stand your ground, don't give up an inch. Now, I'm done. We talked this morning. I'm trying to remember what it was. I know what it was, but I'm trying to remember what it was. Just give me a second. Oh. Abraham. In offering Isaac up on the altar, the Bible says that Abraham secured future generations. How? He said, your seed will possess the gates of their enemies. So all the things you battle in your life, maybe you battle depression, alcoholism, maybe you've battled division in your family, whatever those things are, if you will put everything you've got on the altar when God asks you to, you secure a promise from God that your seed will not have to fight the same battles as you, because that enemy will be crushed under their feet. I feel the Holy Ghost just come into this place. And when we seek and embrace the truth, there will be things done in the Spirit that you'll never be able to see. You might be able to get by with a little bit of ignorance. I believe that, because we can't know everything. But we cannot get by if we don't have a hunger for this thing.
if we don't have a desire for it, if it doesn't become everything to us, I cannot get by if I don't fall in love with the truth of the Word of God. I cannot get by if I don't seek it and I don't passionately seek it out. However that comes, that shouldn't frighten you. It should send you on a mission to say, I want all that God has for me. And thank you, Jesus, for bringing me to this crossroad in my life.
Would you stand with me? Because I got to stop. Is Kenny here? Okay, can someone pass a message on that we've been trying for a month to fix that clock and put batteries in it and take the He is risen signs and turn them around? My Lord, we need an edict from heaven to get the He is risen signs turned around. I looked at the clock and I thought, he still didn't change the batteries. And I thought, I'll bet you the He is risen, and there they are. Do me a favor. Will you do one thing for me? Will you just pray this one simple prayer today? Because I haven't sent one person to hell. That's not what I'm not saying you're wrong or anything. Would you pray this one prayer? Would you please? If you are sincere in your love for God, just pray this one prayer. That's all I'm going to ask. God, don't repeat me now. Let me know where this may apply into my life. And don't stop praying it until He shows you. Because I want to love truth more than anything else in the world. Lord Jesus, I love you. I honor you. I thank you, God, for these sweet people. I thank you, Lord, for their love. I thank you, God, for their passion. And I don't stand here today judging them. Speak, saying, or insinuating they don't know the truth. No, just to, God, remind us and to reassure us how important truth is, that we would seek it, that we would hunger for it, that we would want it, that we would pray for it, especially in this day and hour of confusion, in this day and hour where the adversary goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, in this day where hell hath enlarged herself beyond measure. God, may we embrace truth in the Word of God in its entirety. God, may we not seek opinions, but may we seek the voice of God in everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you now, if you would, to lift your hands and magnify the Lord. Hey, magnify Him right now. Take something and put it on the altar today. Oh, that God would ensure that your seed will possess the gates of your adversary. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
And I saw the Lord seated on His throne. He was clothed in glory, exalted high. In the train of His robe filled the temple. In the angel circle around Him, and cried, "You are holy, oh God, holy. You are
People that will raise your hand and don't speak out loud and tell me what color my tie is. Three people, raise your hand. Okay, we got Terry. Go. What? Huh? Blue, gray. Blue and gray. Which one's the truth? Because here's like a grayish, light grayish blue. There's a blue, there's a darker blue, and there's a gray. So who was right? Listen to me. You can have portions of the truth, but maybe miss pieces of the truth. So we're not here saying that some of people have spent your whole life and you don't have the truth. But sometimes the truth is broader than just one thing or one answer. And that's what we're trying to validate here. That's what we're trying to get across. So if you have a love for truth, eventually God's going to open up all of the truth and all of our understanding, because there may be pieces. Let's be real. There were scriptures that God told the prophet, shut it up. He told Daniel, don't talk no more about it. Don't write it. When we get into Revelation, he said, don't write this part. Leave it there. So don't walk around and say, oh, the pastor told me I was wrong. That is not what I said. Pastors, I don't have the truth. That's not what I said. I said there's more to the truth than what meets the eye. That's what I said. Let's sing it one more time, Brother Tyler. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh,
Brother Keith if he wouldn't mind coming up and closing us in prayer again. Brother Keith, would you mind closing us in prayer?
Lord, I just thank you as we have gathered together here by your command. You've told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Yes. We're here, Lord, and I thank you for your presence with us. And again, Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit that leads us into the truth and the understanding. In the name of Jesus, amen.